This is Skip Mancini. I'm so glad you could come in, get out of the hot sun, and set a spell. It's time for Growing on the High Plains. If each of the colors in a Crayola box were assigned a taste, then green would have to be English peas. Get up early in the morning, walk to the vegetable garden, and stand among the wet and dewy pea vines. Dip your hand into the twiny, viney foliage and bring up a handful of fat, frosted pods. Squeeze along the curving end seam and split one open with a resounding percussive pop. Then tongue along each side to dislodge the tiny inhabitants, round green pearls pried from garden oyster shells. Roll them into your mouth and eat them raw, crunching their tender skins and exploding their juicy fiber as your taste buds sigh with satisfaction. Then you'll say, "Now that's the taste of green." Fresh English peas are an early summer treat that we never seem to get too much of. I never let a summer visitor leave without offering something from the garden, but I don't ever remember offering English peas. Perhaps it's because my husband dearly loves them, or because the mountains of pods I bring into the house produce a relatively small quantity of finished product once all the outer coverings are compost. Or perhaps it's because, as evidenced by the opening of this piece, many of them never make it into the gathering bucket. Whatever the reason, we polish off most of the peas, and what few are left are hoarded in the freezer to give comfort on cold winter days, when summer gardens are gone but not forgotten. Most people I know call a pea, but my family, with its southern hill country heritage, has always called them English peas. Actually, I think this name is appropriate, for like England, peas dote on cool weather with lots of rainfall. And like the famous gardens of the British Isles, they're green, tender, and refined. All of which gives them a relatively short growing season on the central high plains. Oh, you can grow English peas if you're quick like a fox. Plant early, stake against the wind, water habitually, and once the fruits of your labor set on, check them daily in order to harvest them while young and tender. In our prairie heat, delectable green orbs can turn to hard, mealy marbles in just a flash of the summer sun. English peas usually come in about the time Irish potatoes are forming, making for a politically incorrect pairing that signaled to our family that the garden season had finally arrived. My childhood history has English peas and new potatoes being served up at a time when everything old was new again. All the marvels of summer lay ahead. The swimming pool was open, school was a million years away, and with luck might never come again. In medieval history, a typical English fireside would sport a metal pot hanging over the blaze, and inside this pot would be a continuous concoction called peas porridge. As the contents were dished out day by day, a few peas, some water, maybe an onion, and some meat scraps would be added, thus providing a never-ending supply of sustenance, however suspect. I assume at some point something must have ended the cycle, either a plethora of unplanned guests who sopped up the last drops and forced a new beginning, or the ending of the lives of those who ate this aging goop from lead pots. In any case, this is the source of the hand-clapping game we've all played. Peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot 9 days old. Some like it hot, some like it cold, some like it in the pot 9 days old. As for me, I like my peas in the pod, just hours old. And if you must cook them, do so fleetingly, for some things must add crunch to life.
Growing on the High Plains is a production of High Plains Public Radio. It's written and produced by Skip Mancini.